You'll find information on how to support Clear Vision Revival at the end of this podcast. We're now going to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit instantly, in season and out of season. A lot of the time, we think about things, what we're going to do, and we basically step into it and hope that it all works. But if you're full of God, if you've got His presence all over you, if you've spent time in the presence of God, then you can carry it everywhere you go. And then the Holy Spirit, when He sees it time to minister, He just taps you on the shoulder and says, "That person." And then He gives you all of the information that is needed to get that person's interest. Either it's the presence of God, either it's a word of knowledge, either it's just a revelation that you impart unto them, a thought, an idea, and it touches their heart because God's in on it. And it's the only way I like to work now. I don't try and strike up conversations and hope that I can get around to talking about God. I just get full of God, and when I go shopping, when I go walking down the street, or I'm in a supermarket or a shopping center or wherever I am on a footpath or walking down the road, whatever, I'm just in the presence of God, enjoying relationship with God. And then God says, "That person." And I just automatically step in to the anointing and start preaching, because the Lord's, He's given me all the information that I need to do the work. I flew down to Tasmania, Donna and I, and we went around to a brother and sister's house, and they didn't know us at all, and we spoke to them, and I was in the kitchen, and we'd only been there for like maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe. And he said, "So what do you do?" Just out of conversation, he said. And I said, "Well, I just sit at home and pray in tongues for hours every day. I get full of God, and when I lay my hands on people, their lives change. The power of God transforms their life." And he goes, "That's fantastic." And I thought to myself, okay, here we go. And then I said, I see miracles and healings. And he just goes, "That's just great." And he was being set up. You could see him. He was being positioned to receive a miracle. Then all of a sudden, his little 8-year-old boy comes walking into the kitchen. And I looked at him and I said, "Hello, how you going?" And he was autistic. And he started doing a little autistic dance, overwhelmed by me just saying hello to him. He's 8 years old, and he ran behind his dad, and I said to his dad, "Oh, what's wrong with him?" He says, "He's got autism." And I said, "Oh." I said, "How long has he had that?" And he said, "All his life." I said, "Well, see, I didn't know much about autism. I didn't know how it actually functioned or whatever." And then I'd said to him, I said, "Well, how do you think he got that?" And he goes, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, get a clue. I mean, this guy that I'm talking to, he's spirit-filled. He speaks in tongues. I mean, he knows God." I just said to him, "Get a clue." And all of a sudden, he just saw the penny drop in his little mind. He just went, boing. And he goes, "I see." And he just grabbed his son, because his son had he was behind his dad, and he had his hands around his waist. He grabbed his hands and started praying in tongues. Straight away, Don and I stepped over to lay hands on him. And from the moment I moved to the place where I went to put my hands on him, God had already downloaded to me exactly what was wrong, all about autism and how it works, and what I was supposed to do to fix it up. In a matter of seconds. And in short term, the Lord said to me that his brain was overfiring and he was suffering from information overload, and the reason that he'd done a lot of crazy little things was to distract his brain, because he was just like someone who taps their foot when they're getting a needle put in their arm. They trying to distract their mind from, or their focus from, the pain that's happening in their arm. And so I just I just knew what to do. So I put my hand straight on his head and I just commanded his mind to settle down and his brain to stop over firing and to just flatten out. And I took my hand off him and I just looked at him and I said, hello. And he said, hello. And his dad went berserko. He was absolutely over the moon. You know, I mean, I haven't got an autistic child. I don't know much about it. But his dad had to live, his mum and his dad had to live with that all the, you know, all these 8 years. And they had a dysfunctional son that couldn't really communicate much with you. And when he did, it was just too much for him to just have a normal conversation. And he had to be led around by the hand because he couldn't function. And I said hello, and he said hello. His dad was amazed, and he's just going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I said to the little kid, can I have a hug? And he came over and hugged me, and his dad went ballistic. He jumped around the kitchen with his hands in the air going, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I've been praying about this, I've been praying about this, thank you, thank you. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, this must be a big thing for you, mate, and because I haven't got this problem in my life. But God used me to set that family free. It wasn't about Don and I, it was about I carried a presence that could flow into them. Anyway, the wife came into the room. The presence of God was in the kitchen. It filled the kitchen. Matter of fact, another brother that was with me, he actually started jumping around the kitchen because he knew these people. He's jumping around the kitchen with this guy rejoicing, and all of a sudden I walked up to him and there was a wall of glory all around them, and I stepped back. I went, whoa. I got out of that real quick because I knew that I had to continue to minister, and I couldn't afford to be flopping all over the place, whacked out of my head because of the presence of God. And they just jumped around the kitchen crying their eyes out, and it was just amazing. Anyway, I tried to stay focused, so I stepped out of that glory real quick. And the wife came, the mum, and she just came. She was messed up as well. She was, you know, one of those clean freaks, washes their hands 20 times a day, and you know, washes everything and wipes everything down, and had allergies and all of these things. So the whole family is being attacked by the enemy. And she walked into the kitchen, saw what was happening, started crying her eyes out. And I said to her, I said, what would you like God to do for you? And she says, I just want to be set free. And we laid hands on her, and she was set free from a whole lot of stuff. And we just stood in the kitchen after all of that happened, and we just started praising God and just praying in tongues in a circle and worshiping God and thanking Him for the blessing. And that whole family got set free. We came back the next day, we prayed for the other little kids, and we prayed for the family, the marriage and everything, and they started moving forward fast. And they started having prayer sessions in their house and worship time, and they invited their friends and they started worshiping, and the presence of God turned up, and it was really wonderful. I mean, we flew back from Tassie back up to Brisbane. But the interesting thing is that the pastor of their church was the little boy's granddad. Okay, so the girl, the wife, it was her dad. And he'd never had a hug from this little boy. Now, this little boy now, he actually is a functional little boy, spirit-filled. He speaks in tongues. And he goes to school, and he's the captain of his class. And he went to church the next day. It was on a Saturday that we prayed for them. He went to church the next day, and in Sunday school, he was just different. They were just asking him questions. What happened to you? What happened to you? And he said, it's my shyness just flew away into the sky. That's how he said it. Now, his granddad was the pastor of the church, and he just wouldn't have a bar of it. He told that family that if they didn't stop seeing Don and I, if they didn't stop communicating with Don and I, they had to leave the church. And they just said, no, well, we're just going where the miracles are. And we're just going where the glory of God works. And so they left the church. And they were in that church all their life. You know, You know, I couldn't fathom how a granddad would throw his family out of the church because somebody from outside the church came and healed, right, his grandson from autism. I just can't fathom that. I can't fathom how hard-hearted a person can be towards the miracles of God in their life. I just can't fathom that. And, you know, well, they're going to have to stand before the Lord. It's not my problem. My problem is to be full of God and to be used of God. And your problem is to be full of God and to be used of God. And if people give you persecution, now these people suffered persecution. They got thrown out of the church because of us. Because we weren't part of the system. We weren't part of the church. And, I mean, if you're going to be full of God, you're going to suffer persecution. And I will tell you that most persecution I suffer is from other Christians. I don't suffer any persecution from unsaved people. Matter of fact, unsaved people treat me with great respect. They don't understand, they're not spirit-filled, they can't go to church, but they treat me like a holy man. They treat me with great reverence, spiritual reverence. And they, when I lay my hands on them, they know who I am. They don't understand things, but they know that I am not to be messed with as far as the kingdom of God goes. They don't bother me. They show me respect. They smile at me and say, "How can you help me?" And they call me all sorts of funny names, like, you know, man of God and pastor. And look, you know, I had a couple that were caught with ICE and they're going to jail, and they said man of God, could you come and help me, because they're on the street, they knew me, and they said, I'm going to jail, I need you to pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. So I prayed for them, and you know, I don't know what happened to them, but the thing is that when you pray for people on the street, people love Jesus, but the Pharisees hated Jesus. The people that knew Jesus and saw the miracles, they might not have wanted to follow him and be his disciples, but they had respect for what God was doing in him. But the Pharisees, they hated him. All they wanted to do was stick him up on a cross. Well, you know, it's the same thing. I found that those of your own household are your worst enemies. Your brothers and sisters have been messed about with religion. They seem to want to choose religion more than God. They like the powerless religion that they're involved in than God. They want to be a part of a religious movement that uses God's name, but when it comes to the authentic move of God, not everybody, but a lot, want religion. It's more comfortable. You don't have to pay much. You don't have to lay your life down. You don't have to die to yourself. You don't have to be transformed. You can stay who you are in religion. But when you get involved in the kingdom of God, God demands that you change so that he can fellowship with the change. I'll say that again. God wants you to change through the Holy Spirit, not through your own effort, through the agency of the Holy Spirit teaching you and transforming you. He wants to change you so that he can fellowship with that change. You can't fellowship with the part that's not changed. He's holy. So he transforms your thinking, different aspects, so that he can have fellowship with you. But if you're in religion and you're not being transformed by the Holy Spirit, well, you don't get to know God. You only get to know a form of religion. That's all you get to know. A form of godliness. And the Bible says they have a form of godliness from such turn away. They deny the power thereof. The Bible says I was in a church and these people were singing and the smoke machines were pumping out the smoke and the lights were flashing at the right sequence and it was just wonderful. And it was just like being in a nightclub. But I said to the Lord, there was nothing there. I couldn't feel any presence of God there. I said to the Lord, what is this? And he said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far removed from me. They honor me with their lips. They sing the songs. They speak wonderful words of adulation to my name, but their heart doesn't want to be with me. The heart is removed. It's far. It's hardened. When the Holy Spirit moves on people, two things happen. They run away or they run to God. That's it. When the Holy Spirit moves on people, when the Holy Spirit breaks out, when the move of a spirit of the Holy Spirit moves in a church, two things happen. People run to God or they run away from God. They don't get to sit on the fence. They can't because there's a move of God. A lot of people in a church can sit on a fence because there's no move of God. They can do whatever they want. They can go home and they can sing songs about Jesus and they can put on videos and they can listen to different teachings, series of teachings about things, but they never do anything about it. I know people have got tons and tons of teachings, right? Serious teachings on prophetics and evangelism, but they never do anything about it. They don't get down on their knees, pray to God and be transformed so they can be used. Instead, they just keep collecting the CDs and the DVDs. They're forever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They're forever learning about God and about the spiritual realm, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Never having a personal transformation in their life. That's the problem. So all we've got today is we've got thousands of different churches, or a lot of them are saying, we want to move with God, but you know, the ones that are fair dinkum, the ones that are real, the ones that are authentic, when God moves, they'll move with it. They'll move with the Holy Spirit. That shows me who's who in the zoo. You know, a lot of people, they don't understand things. That's okay. If they don't have understanding, what's this? What's happening here? Right? But once they come to the knowledge and the realization this is God, right, they either get scared off or they run to it and they say, God, come. Be part of this. You know, people sing songs, you know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I've heard them sing that song. As soon as you start praying for people, they jump on you. When you start praying for somebody and they get healed or their life changes, they jump on you. It's amazing. So they sing the songs, but nothing happens. I just want to be around authentic Christians. I just want to be around people who truly love God and don't have a form of godliness. I just want to be around people who will give God a chance to move in their life. They may not understand. They may be a bit scared. They may be a bit weary. Good. Be weary. Good. Be a bit scared. Right? Don't just let anybody waltz into your space and say, I am a great man of God. That's rubbish. I've seen so many false prophets preaching so much false rubbish, giving people words of knowledge that aren't even from God. I'm over them too as well. You know, I say to these prophets, go and spend some time with God so that you can authentically speak things from God and stuff that's not from your own head. I get prophets come up to me and they say, I've got a word for you. I say, yes, what is it? They say, Jesus loves you. I say, oh man, I never knew that. Tell me something I don't know. Tell me something that's going to benefit me. I already know that. I walk in the presence in the love of God all the time. Not being sarcastic, but it's just that people can just prophesy anything that's positive, or they can quote a scripture. I've got a scripture for you. and that's good. Praise the Lord. I'll always say, okay, show me. Because you never know. Always be looking for the move of God. But always walk in discernment, spiritual discernment. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Discerning of spirits. Who are false and who are true. Who are telling lies or prophesying out of their own head. And who are being motivated and moved on by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. And if you have discerning of spirits, if you had that working, you pray to the Lord that he would give you discerning of spirits. You would discern who are the true and false spiritual entities, whether it's the Holy Spirit or it's just some demon stuff. Okay? And, the bottom line, I keep saying to people, be full of God. If you're full of God, then God will use you. If you're full of God, then when you need to be used in a certain aspect, God will use you. When you need protection, God will look after you. When you need provision, God will look after you. When you need direction, God will lead you. When you need power, the power will turn up. It's that easy, because you've been with God, because you're in Christ Jesus. Being in him is like being immersed in his presence. It's like being immersed in him. It's like diving into a pool. You're covered in water. And the deeper you go into the things of God, the more safer you are. You will never crash and burn if you walk authentically in the kingdom of God, led by the Holy Spirit. I had a brother. He started praying and he got excited about things, and he was moving into a place of stability. And then he said he had some voices come to him and tell him that it was God, and God was going to look after him. And to prove it, he was to get rid of all his stuff and go and stand out in the main street where all the cars were whizzing by, and see if he would protect him. He did that, and he ended up getting carted off to the nut factory. And they had him in the psych ward, and people didn't know what was going on. They rang me up and said, this brother's in there. I knew the brother. I said, that's okay, get me on the phone to him. So in his hospital bed or his ward room or something, I spoke to him on the phone, and he'd been in there for a couple of days, and they had him down as delusional psycho stuff. He had delusional thingos. And so I prayed over him, and I commanded his mind to stop being messed about by false words from demons, from evil spirits, from the darkness that tries to confuse and twist and distort things. I just prayed over him and commanded his mind to be free from those things. The next day, they came to him and said, "You're normal. What happened?" He just came out of it instantly, and he got out of hospital, and now he had to learn to listen and discern between the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of lies. Okay? You know, when you start praying in tongues, when you start moving into the things of God, the enemy will counter, he'll start attacking you because you're moving into the light. You know, it's interesting. You've got to get a clue about this. If you're not doing anything and the enemy's not attacking you, and then you start praying in tongues and seeking God, and all of a sudden persecution and all hell breaks loose in your life, you got to think something's going down. You created that. Why did you create that? Why? Because God's trying to kill you and hurt you? No. Because the enemy is trying to stop you. He's trying to stop you from moving forward in the things of God. He's trying to slow down. He's trying to intimidate you, trying to scare you off from seeking God. You know, I get people praying, and we get a lot of stuff off of them, and they start praying, and they get enough momentum to not really suffer too much stuff because we got all the stuff off in the beginning. And then they start moving forward, and the enemy only just sort of messes with them a little bit. He doesn't get a chance to get his claws into them. You know, when a person has to, from the standing start, with all of the weights and all of the problems that's in his life, when he has to actually start moving forward, no one's there to help him, all hell's going to break loose in his life, and he's going to have to drag his bones out of that ditch themselves through prayer. I had to do that myself. I had nobody to come and help me. I had nobody to direct me. I had nobody to show me the way out. I had nobody to help me get the power of God over me, to show me how to really do it, except I knew praying in tongues was a pretty good shot. And it was the best. I started praying in tongues. All hell did break loose in my life. And the enemy started harassing me big time. And I kept praying. And I just was one step ahead of the enemy all the time. And I tell you, it was touch and go a lot of the times, but I just kept focusing on Jesus and going forward. I kept focusing on Jesus and going forward. And when I tripped and fell to my knees, I got up, I shook myself off, I started praying in tongues, and I just focused on Jesus and went forward. And all of a sudden, I broke into a place where I was free. Okay, I was free from the enemy. I was free from him trying to harass me in a big way. And I could tell you lots of stories about all of this stuff. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm not going to go into it now, but it was not fun. So now when I preach to other people, I don't let them just have to get out of the ditch on their own effort and their own, you know, strength going forward and their own steely head and they're making their head like flint and going forward. I help them. I actually pray for them and I get all the stuff off of them so they can get onto dry ground, onto solid ground, and they can start making traction, right? And they can break into that place that I took a year to break into, really. They can break into it in a matter of days and weeks. It's amazing. And that is the anointing that the Lord has given me. He's given me the anointing to heal the brokenhearted. He's told me this. He's given me the anointing to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to break rocks and to drill through rocks, right? And he said, I'm to teach and demonstrate the anointing. So what I do is, it took me a while to figure out, well, what do I mean? What do I do? How do I do this, Lord? And he showed me step by step through the Holy Spirit how to demonstrate the anointing and how to teach the anointing. First, demonstrate, pray over people, let them see that their heart gets healed, that they get blessed, and that they get transformed, and that they break into a place, and then teach the anointing. Teach them how to go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the ministry I have. So if you were to define my ministry, Don and I, what we do is we get all the stuff off of people and then we get them on fire and then we show them how to go forward. We make sure that everything in their vehicle is all working properly. The tires are all checked, the oil's checked, they're fueled up and they're ready to go. And we give them a pathway, a direction, and they go forward. That's the anointing that we have. That's the ministry we have. We get people out the ditch and we get them on the strong ground, solid ground, and then we give them direction and they start moving and they move into the things of God. And they start seeing miracles happen in their life. They start seeing other people's lives change through what they've received. They receive it from God and they pass it on. We received it from God and we passed it on to them. And then they receive it from God and they pass it on to other people. And they teach other people to receive from God and then to pass it on. Okay? That's what we do. So we get people baptized, get them filled with the Holy Spirit. If they're already baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, we get them out of the ditch. We get them out of that complacency of going to church for years after years and not really seeing much and seeing little bits here and there, but they have this hope inside them and still alive. What we do is we come and we ignite that hope inside them through the Holy Spirit. He burns with great fire. We prayed for some people and they said it was like they had a whole log jam in their logs all jammed up in their river, and we unblocked the river, got rid of all the logs through just prayer, and the river started flowing, and their life started flowing in the Spirit, and it was amazing. That's what they said. These people who had this little autistic kid, they call that day, that Saturday, they call that Freedom Day. So they speak, they say, that's what, when they speak to people about testimony of what happened, they said, we call this Freedom Day. The day that they walked, they started walking in freedom. That to me is just wonderful, that these people's lives, they're now teaching other people how to get free. They're praying for people. They're going out ministering to other people who have schizophrenia, kids who have autism. They're praying for them. You know? That's good ministry. I like it. All we're doing is getting full of God, passing it on, and then they pass it on. That's it. You know, nobody, unfortunately, I never had anybody help me. In the beginning, when I first came to the Lord, I had a brother who come to me and he said, it was on a Tuesday, got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And on Wednesday, he said to me, well, let's start outreaching. And I said, I'm going to tell you now, if you start praying in tongues, it will save you a lot of heartache. So he got me praying in tongues for an hour and a half every day for the first year of my life in the Lord. and that helped me move forward. That helped me. That helped me understand the things of God. That helped me to be able to minister effectively. But after that, I worked in the church for 25 years, and I got worn out. I got tired. I prayed, but I was only keeping my head above water, as far as being ahead of crashing and burning. You know, I just didn't want to be in that place, just one step ahead. I wanted to be massively ahead so that I could help my brothers and sisters. I didn't want to just be in the ocean bobbing around, just being able to keep myself afloat. I wanted to go and get a life raft so that I could help my brothers and sisters. You know, really, that's all I did, is I just went and got the stuff. You know, I went and got the stuff so that I could be a helper to my brothers and sisters. Jesus did the same thing. He said to his disciples, I'm going to the Father, and I'm going to send you the helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful that I go away, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. All I did was just, I just went to God. I went to the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit and said, I need the stuff. I need the life raft. I need the vehicle that's going to get them out. I need the tow truck. I need the crane that's going to get them out of the ditch. And I spent time and I fumbled through until I got my momentum going, until I figured out where I was going forward and which was the right way. And I kept going forward. And I did it. I've been doing it for nine years now. And I've had such success. I've seen so many healings, so many miracles, so many people's lives changed. It's just absolutely amazing. And all I have to deal with is Pharisees. I don't have to deal with the people in the world. They're not bothering me much. The Pharisees are the only ones that are bothering me. But I can deal with them. If I can get my hands on them, and if they'll open their hearts up, they'll become disciples of Jesus. And not Pharisees. They'll be like Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And then he went to Pilate and asked for his body. I mean, you know, he was sold out. He was a Pharisee, but now he's sold out. So I don't want to condemn people. I don't want to put weight on them. I want them to be free. Okay? And some pastors are bogged down with situations. If you're Satan and you want to destroy a church, go after the pastor and his family. And I think if you have any ounce of love in you, pray for your pastors and their family. Right? Don't condemn them, because they're the first line of defense. They're the enemy goes after them more than he goes after the people in the church. Because if he gets the pastor, he gets the church. So you pray for your pastors. You pray for the oversight, that they be protected. They get a revelation. They get power. They get re-empowered by the Holy Spirit, that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns brightly in them, and that they become strong in the Lord, and that they become fearless in the Lord, and that they have great boldness, and that they can pass it on to you. That's what you should be doing, not ripping apart your oversight for their lack of whatever they're not doing. You should be encouraging them. You should be praying over them. You should be blessing them. You don't have to agree with their stuff, but you have to encourage them through prayer. Pray for them. It's very, very important. The kingdom of God runs on prayer. It runs on, it's word-based. It's actually voice-activated. Okay, the kingdom of God. So, you know, if you can get your pastors and oversight on fire, then the enemy loses the grip on the church. Because Jesus said, he said, if you grab the strong man, you've got the whole house. You will spoil all his goods. Well, the enemy thinks, well, that's true. I'll go after the strong man in the church. I'll go after the oversight and the pastor. He didn't go after the guy who cleans the toilets or the guy who maybe greets the people in. He goes after the guys that can steer the church, right? He goes after the authority of the church. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're walking in the Word of God, and if you're being authentic and you truly love God and you're laying your life down for God, for Jesus Christ, the devil's going to have a hard time trying to get his hooks in you. The Holy Spirit will step in and he will protect you. He will start looking after you. Okay, so look, we'll just leave it there. So if you'd like to help us out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of the page and click on support. It'd be greatly appreciated.